The extortionists who've knocked out a crucial set of fuel pipelines suggest they're being nice. I'm David Brancaccio. The set of pipelines carrying gasoline, diesel, and aviation fuel from the Texas Gulf to the east is still out today, with Colonial Pipeline saying it could be the end of this week earliest before systems are restored. Authorities see an extortion play here by hackers based in Eastern Europe, an outfit called DarkSide, which specializes in ransomware. Pay or your system stays locked down. Molly Wood is host of our program Marketplace Tech.
This pipeline shutdown shows us exactly how vulnerable our infrastructure really is. We've seen ransomware attacks hit things like hospitals more than once. But I did find it interesting that this group that's been accused of orchestrating this attack, DarkSide, put out a statement saying its aim was to make money and not cause problems for society. In fact, the group said it would essentially institute a type of moderation to make sure it didn't attack targets that would really disrupt society or send a political message. Now, it's good that there could eventually be some kind of code of conduct for cyber assaults, but it also suggests that we're in such a vulnerable position that we may be reliant on an invisible code of honor, or maybe a fear of global law enforcement pursuit, that keeps hackers away from really dangerous targets like water treatment plants or air traffic controllers. But we should assume that we are vulnerable in all of those areas and staff up accordingly.
Our Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech. When there are possibilities of shortages, human impulse is to top up gas tanks, which feeds into this problem. Also, American Airlines is for a couple days adding refueling stops to a couple of longer haul flights out of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss our coverage of that on the air. The spot price of wholesale gasoline is actually calming down at the moment, down 0.7% now. The market screens tell me the rout in tech stocks is not set to be over immediately. Higher prices for gasoline, pork, corn, lumber get market players thinking about inflation. If interest rates are higher, some money may be drawn into bonds and out of stocks. After the Nasdaq fell 2.6% yesterday, it's down another 1.3% in early trading now. The Dow is down 332 points, about 1%, and the S&P is down 1.1%. Indeed, the 10-year interest rate is up at 1.62%. Researchers at Vanderbilt are studying who is moving house and to where during the pandemic. Yes, people are shifting out of bigger cities, but reasons vary when you map the data across incomes. Marketplace's Andy Euler has that.
When the pandemic hit last year, Mac McKelvey was running a two-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. She runs a marketing firm, and before COVID, it just made sense for her to be in New York. But working remotely didn't really matter. So in September, she looked for a place in Vermont.
It was a no-brainer. We drove up, looked at the house, said yes, signed the lease, went back to New York, started packing.
She now pays about half for a house on a lake than she did for an apartment in Manhattan. Peter Haslag is the researcher at Vanderbilt who's been studying the moving patterns amid COVID. He says higher income folks like McKelvey tended to move for a lifestyle change and because they could.
If you decouple work from location decisions, then people are able to kind of optimize in a different way.
He says lower income households moved last year for a lot of the same reasons they did before. Job loss, cost of living, etc. And that people in lower income brackets are also less likely to be able to work remotely than those making more money. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
A story now about migration and the often unscrupulous underground economy in which migrants are forced to participate. You see this across the world. Our story today focuses on people moving by land from Central Asia into Western Europe, more specifically people who entered Bosnia without permission. Here's reporter Matthew Algio.
Because they are in Bosnia illegally, migrants can't work in the local economy, so they depend on money from home for basic necessities. But getting that cash isn't easy. Obadallah Dalitze came to Bosnia from Afghanistan, and he hopes to make it to Germany. Like most migrants, his family sends him money through a service like PayPal or Western Union.
They have a person to Afghanistan, they give him money, cash. He sent me here. And somewhere in Sarajevo, somebody help us.
Somebody helps him because only legal residents can withdraw cash from banks in Bosnia, so the migrants need to find a Bosnian willing to withdraw the money for them.
We gave him 10% to him. He, when he sent me 100 euro, he take a 10% like I give him 90 euro. Like he take a 10 euro from 100 euro.
And 10% is actually a pretty good rate. Other migrants say this unofficial tax on money transfers can be as high as 20%. The migrants call an attempt to cross the border into EU member state Croatia going on the game. One migrant, who asked us not to use his name, told me he's gone on the game more than 20 times, but Croatian police have pushed him back to Bosnia each time.
You have to have some money to try for the games. At each time, it's the same story. While Croatian police catch you, they will take it and do not give it back.
That adds up, since each attempt costs a migrant about 100 euros for food, clothing, and other gear. Right now, about 200 migrants from Afghanistan and Pakistan are camped out in a sprawling abandoned factory in Bihać, a small city in western Bosnia close to the Croatian border. They pass the time playing cricket with an old tennis ball and an improvised bat, waiting until they can afford to go on the game one more time. In Sarajevo, I'm Matthew Algio for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.